Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst at the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is Jamie Owens, chief executive officer for Bill the Butcher Incorporated. The company trades on the bulletin board. Ticker symbol is BILB. And they are a leading retailer of organic and natural grass-fed meats. Thanks for joining us today, Jamie.
Oh, thank you, Juan. It's my pleasure.
Great. Now, starting off, give us a brief history and overview of Bill the Butcher for some of our listeners that may be new to your story.
I'd love to. We were founded in 2009 as a private company. We purchased our own public vehicle and did an advanced public offering, or an APO, by merging our own business into our own shell. We are a retailer of organic and natural grass-fed beef and meats, well, multi-species meat. We currently operate 6 stores in the Seattle metro area, and we are planning on a regional rollout and then a national rollout.
Well, great. And so what are some of the drivers behind the company's fiscal results, which I saw a fourth consecutive quarter of revenue growth?
We did. We had 4 quarters of growth, which we're thrilled about. You know, I think that we have a lot of basics right. We have a very low-cost model, which allows us to build a store for and open a store for under $100,000. And that in retail is very rare. We have our more mature stores, which have been open for more than 8 months, are doing they're on the trajectory to do $700,000 this year in gross revenue, gross sales, and our stores are doing about $523 a square foot as an average. And so we have a model that is really working. It has a low labor cost model as well. We're riding a very big trend. I don't know if you know this, but the segment, the organic food segment, is about $26.5 billion. And organic meat sales were $448 million in the United States. And it's the fastest sector of the organic food business. So we're riding a huge mega trend here. And that's a big reason why consumers have adopted our business and brand, and they love us so much. I mean, we have done a lot of things that happened to be correct, but the first was bringing the butcher shop back to the neighborhood. And, you know, I was just with you guys in New York yesterday, and there are butcher shops in New York, but there aren't cool, culturally relevant, and organic and natural butcher shops. We're the first one in the country to have this enviable position. So not only are we riding a big wave of industry growth, but consumers have also become aware that you'd rather have a cow that was raised 30 miles from your home and slaughtered humanely and spent its life eating grass than one that spent its life in a feedlot with 50,000 other cows all standing in each other's excrement. It's kind of an easy choice when presented. And consumers have seen the film Food, Inc. They've been eating. You know, The Omnivore's Dilemma by Michael Pollan. They've seen Eric Schlosser's good work with Fast Food Nation. They've seen Super Size Me. And people are becoming awake and aware that our food supply has really been industrialized and it's not necessarily good for us.
Well, certainly, yeah. I think while I was watching the video with or the documentary with the guy that wrote Food, Inc., and actually, he was, you know, he said one of his favorite foods is a hamburger, which, you know, it's kind of, you know, so he's not against meat. He's just against, you know, the way that it's, you know, being raised.
That's right.
So, you know, I certainly appreciate you going over some of the trends right now in the sector. And so what else would you say makes Bill the Butcher unique from some of your competitors and some of the other players in the sector?
Well, we are on a mission. You know, we're practicing what I think is conscious capitalism. We believe that we're going to do well by doing the right thing. And we're going to prevail financially, and we're going to be a big success because we're actually putting dollars back into the local farming and ranching community. And that's something that has not happened in a very long time. We've put, in the first year of operation, hundreds of thousands of dollars into small ranchers and farmers' pockets. And we actually created a brand new marketplace. And if you think about it, it's one that exists above the farmer's market and below the grocery store. Because our vendors are too small to sell to the grocery store. The grocery store can't handle these guys because we buy 1, 2, 3, and 4 animals at a time from all of these small farmers and ranchers. And we set the business up to do that. It'd be very difficult for the supermarket to ever compete by buying these same products because they come in seasonally, they come in irregularly, and we have enough vendors to ride out those peaks and valleys. But it's a brand new marketplace we've created.
Well, certainly, yeah. That was another point that was brought up in the documentary, as far as that, you know, those companies such as, you know, McDonald's, the big corporations control, you know, most of the vendors, so it kind of leaves a little bit less for, you know, some of the smaller operations. And so perhaps you could walk us through your background and experience, Jamie, and talk a little bit about the strength of the management team over there.
Well, I would love to. That's awfully nice of you to ask. I'm a 50-year-old woman. I have spent about 25 years of my life working in the retail sector. I have had the really just amazing good fortune and honor to work for the country's best merchants. And I worked for Disney. I worked for Sears. I worked for Home Depot. I worked for Starbucks, for Cinnabon, for Nike, for Applebee's, for M&M Mars, for AT&T, and for HP. And for these people I created and companies, I created retail businesses. So I've always been, I've created probably 400 different retail models in my career, and those are in 20,000 or so incarnations or applications in the United States alone. So you and I have met over a transaction counter at Blockbuster Video or at Seattle's Best Coffee. You've been in a store that was developed by me. In the heydays of retail development, I directed around $500 million of annual spending and, I've had a pretty prolific career and a really fortunate one, and I think I have my letter sweater in this thing that I call retail. I also founded and rolled out Laptop Lane, which was an airport nationally. You may have seen it. It was before there was Wi-Fi in airports. It was 12 years ago.
Certainly.
And we sold that business for about $45 million. So this isn't my first rodeo. I'm looking for...
pun intended.
No pun intended. I'm looking for like-minded investors to see that we have a really great business and that it's going to work in many, many parts of the country.
Well, good. And so what are some of the goals and milestones that the company is hoping to accomplish here over the course of the next year?
Great question. We aim to open 20 stores by this time next year. So we have 6 open currently. We have the 7th one in construction, and we're planning on opening 7, for a total of 20 more, so 14 more stores by the end of 2011. And we plan on incorporating our state-of-the-art inventory tracking system. We bought a system from Radiant, which is a public company that also runs the likes of Nordstrom. We bought an unbelievable brain to run the business on. So we set up a way to run multi-unit chain with our minimal staff, and we're busy standardizing procedures and processes and getting systems in place. And the main thing we need to do, and the thing that we're seeking to do in Q1 of next year, is to open a centralized commissary. So one of the reasons we keep costs so low is to do all the major cutting and processing of the animals in our current commissary. And we're outgrowing that one. We're going to open a new one. And that central commissary will be the support mechanism for our 20 new shops.
Well, that's great. And when it comes to investors in the financial community, first off, can you explain to us, what some of the benefits or, some of the reasoning was, behind going public? And do you believe that the Build a Butcher story, your message, Jamie, and ultimately the company's upside potential are completely understood and appreciated by the financial community?
Well, I sure hope so. I think that if people see the likes of Patagonia and the Body Shop, and many other success stories that were built on purpose, not just on a financial model that worked. We happen to have both. We have our hearts in the right place, but we're capitalists. I mean, I would say to you that the term conscious capitalism is there, and it's no accident. We can't create sustainability for farmers in our region and other regions without economic sustainability of this company. And sustainability in our culture, in our world, sustainability in our food supply means there has to be economic sustainability. So I seek to make profit in our business for our investors and for the farmers and ranchers from which we need to stay in business so we can keep on keeping on. I mean, it is a whole system one, and it has to be sustainable economically, environmentally, and consciously sustainable, because everybody's making money at every level.
Right, and so good answer, Jamie. And so once again, joining us today is Jamie Owens, Chief Executive Officer for Build a Butcher. The company trades on the bulletin board. Ticker symbol is BILB. Is currently trading at $1.52 a share. The market cap is north of $35 million. And we were just discussing the company's fiscal 2010 results. And so before we conclude, Jamie, to recap some of your key points here, why do you believe that investors should consider Build a Butcher, BILB, as a good long-term investment opportunity?
They should invest in us now because we're going to become the Starbucks of meat. We have all of the same metrics and better. If you look at our cost to open a store of $100,000 or less, our mature stores expecting to exceed $700,000, our sales per square foot at $523, which is currently more than Starbucks does, our gross margins moving into the 50s, a fully mature Build a Butcher store being able to deliver more than 20% EBITDA at the store level, our 62,000 transactions so far in 14 months of business, all of those things should tell you that I'm a woman on a mission, and I am going to win, and we're going to roll this business out nationally.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your upcoming progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Jamie, and update our investors on Build a Butcher.
Juan, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, and happy eating.
Thank you. Yeah, it's almost lunchtime.